There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so.
Hamlet. William Shakespeare.
I lost the quote.
A king of all authors and poets. I don't know. Start your quote.
Oh, okay. Here we go. No existe nada bueno ni malo. Stop laughing at me. Es el pensamiento humano el que lo hace parecer así.
Hamlet.
Hamlet. Shakespeare. those are the quotes for today.
See.
They come from Half Bad. We were trying to peruse El Goodreads.
Yes, as
for
we do.
Some quotes.
Mm-hmm. It was limited options.
Limited options. For some reason, half of them are in Spanish. So my quote, for those non-Spanish speakers out there, is exactly what Haley said, just in Spanish.
And you know what? It sets it up for just a good story.
It is. Mm-hmm. What is the fun fact about this quote that you told me?
The author, Sally Green, said that she actually used this quote to come up with the story and the plot line of this trilogy. So shout out to Willie Shaky Speary.
Willie Shaky Speary. What a bro.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into what's up with Half Bad, let's get into what's up with us.
Yeah. Let's tell the listeners.
Let's tell the listeners. What the fuck is up, bro?
What's up with you?
God, I don't think I thought of an update.
I mean, I could say, well, today I turned 27 years old.
It's your birthday.
So right now I'm going to spend 3 hours reflecting on. No. I don't feel different. People don't feel different.
I know.
Another year goes.
It's so sad because, like, as I age, you remember as a kid when birthdays were exciting and it was like you wake up and the day just feels special.
I know, because, you know, like, the teachers always do something fun. Maybe just give you a piece of candy, but it feels like a special moment.
It does. And it's just like there's a vibe the whole day where it's just like it's my fucking birthday.
I know. And I had like 4 or 5 years in a row where I had Scooby-Doo themed birthday parties.
I fucking love Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it was my shit. And I'm like, why don't I still have those? Why can't I have a Scooby-Doo themed birthday party?
We should.
I know. Why actually not? Really want to go. We should do something. I have to leave my fucking apartment to do something fun.
Yeah. I think we're both very homebodies, which I was out of town this past weekend, and it just really reinforced the fact that I'm such a homebody.
It's
I never
so hard.
Wanna leave.
I know.
Yeah. And then it's like sometimes. Okay, so I was reading, like, the Broken Bond series, and of course it is spicy.
Yeah, it's spicy.
It's got some spicy scenes, and so I feel awkward when I go to work and I put the fucking, when I'm listening to the audiobooks, and it's like, you know, very sexy scene, and I'm trying to keep a straight face as I'm just walking through the fucking hospital.
I know. I've had that happen to me a lot on the train as I'm going to work, and it's like, usually it was like Dramini, like fanfic. This is what I was listening to last year a lot. And some of it was real spicy.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know how to feel about this.
I know.
These people looking at me.
It's weird. At work, I stopped. Like, because, I mean, usually it'd be like if I'm walking in, I still have my head. Because I listen to it in the car. Mm-hmm. Then I'm just like, God, my worst fear is that it's
going to
disconnect from my headphones. And it's just going to start blinging out loud.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. So I just... happen.
That's a great point. I think for me, I just like become too distracted, and I'm just like, I can't even pay attention to what this is saying because I'm just in a hospital and it's gross.
And I'm like, this is just not the vibe.
Yeah.
You know, for the sexy book. But sometimes when I'm listening to my car, I have it playing through my car speakers.
Yeah.
So I'm worried that it's too loud, and if I like am parked, someone next to me is just gonna hear
the homeless guy out there. He's like, what the hell is she listening to?
Yeah. But the one thing I've seen like on Instagram and shit, like girls who listen to Smut with just a completely stoned straight face.
We're so dead into it at this point.
I know. I've fucking mastered it. I mean, there's nothing. Nothing on my face.
You wouldn't even know. And then it'd be playing out loud and they're like, how are you just listening to this with no reaction?
I know. It was funny. I saw this like video of this dude listening to 50 Shades of Grey in his car. But he had the window rolled down and it turned the way like way up, and he was like going through a Starbucks line or shit.
Jesus
and some
Christ.
Dude was like outside like holding up a sign and it's just like talking about this sex scene and this dude's face, which is fucking priceless.
I like I don't know why. I know, but why isn't it as weird? Like, for, you know, when the horny teens are trying to sneak porn or something, and then it's like, we live in the age of Bluetooth, so, you know, you gotta be careful with that thing.
You really do.
You really do.
Yeah, not to say who, but I did, I do know someone who, while they're home, they were playing porn on their phone.
Yeah.
And it connected to their family's kitchen speaker, and his mom found him.
Something similar happened to a friend I went to high school with. He was listening to it, and his like college roommates or something. It was connected to the speaker in like their shower or something.
Oh, God!
But I'm thinking, okay, but is that very much different than what we're doing?
I know. Except, I mean,
I'm not sitting there violently masturbating.
No, me neither.
It's a different vibe.
It's a different vibe. It's just, you know.
I guess I feel like women just, it's different, you know?
It is.
I don't know.
I feel like women, and I could be totally misinterpreting, go more towards the, like, erotic stories.
Yeah.
And men just go for the video porn.
Yeah, it's just visual stimulation
visual,
only.
And we're audio.
I love a good whispering in the ear.
Don't we? Gosh, but I will say, like, for the books that I've listened to that are the graphic audios, I'm good. Thank God. The only one I've listened to did not have any sex scenes, but no, I don't.
I'm actually curious.
I mean, do they make the noises of sex?
I don't know, but I am, because remember when we were listening to Born on Fire and it was kind of like, like it was very, like, moany. But I'm curious because the A Court of Thorns, apparently they have some graphic audio versions. And I'm like, I'm interested. I want to see.
That's interesting.
I know.
Hmm.
I'm curious.
I'd give it a whirl, you know.
If it was good, you know, like, it can't be as shitty as Born on Fire, because that story was just awful.
That was bad. Also, if you haven't listened to our podcast.
Yes, please.
Born on Fire.
Please do before you read that.
Really, there's no reading of the book necessary.
No. Really
just
not.
Listen to our podcast, and that I think is all the content you need from the book. But shall we go ahead and get into Half Bad?
Let's do it.
So let's go ahead and roll the intro that we still have not recorded.
Yes, 2 months later. Welcome to Fae Babes, the podcast where we delve into the enchanting world of fantasy romance.
Join us as we explore magical realms, fall in love with fae daddies, and tell you what the fuck is happening in these stories.
So grab your favorite book, a cozy blanket, and let's embark on a magical journey together.
Because who needs reality when you can lose yourself in a world with magic and shit?
And we're back.
And we're back.
To talk about Half Bad by Sally Green.
Sally Green.
The first of a trilogy?
It is a trilogy.
I'm excited.
Now, before we get into the book, how did we fucking discover this?
Well, like most things. You told me.
Okay, so I discovered this by watching the show on Netflix. Mm. If you haven't watched it, do so. It's life-changing. I'm obsessed.
I'm about to be. I know.
I've already watched the season twice. Mm. I'm about to watch it a third time. And spoiler alert, the second season has been canceled.
Boo.
Because Netflix sucks.
And we all know that Netflix fucking cancels everything.
Yeah.
Multiple shows that I've loved and I've fucking lived and died for. Just gone.
Just poof.
Stolen away from me because they don't want to put money into things that we actually like. They want to spend it on some bullshit like, I don't know, what's popular right now?
Love is
Wednesday.
Blind. Although I love me some good reality trash.
Yeah. But come on, people.
Yeah.
Like, good TV.
And I have to say, like, okay, there's not many times I say this, but this is one of the few times where I thought the show / movie was better than the book.
Yeah, that's a rare thing for readers to say.
And it kind of reminds me of Shadow and Bone. I thought the series was better. I thought the TV show was better than the book, but that's just because, like Shadow and Bone, Half Bad is only Nathan's point of view. In the TV show, you have multiple points of view. You get to see things that in the book it's only like briefly talked about, but they go into a whole storyline. Right. So it's I think it's fun because you end up getting more content. I think that's, and this is such a visual book.
Yes.
That it translates very well as a show.
I can definitely see that. I'm very excited. I've only seen a couple of episodes of the show, but I'm very excited.
I think you've only seen one. Like half of one.
I thought I saw maybe two.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll have to
We're about to rewatch.
I'm going to start over because I want to.
It's so good.
But I'm very excited. I'm sad it's canceled, but to all the fanfic writers out there, please give us content.
Yes, please.
Because I'll read it all.
Slap. Oh, yeah, we will. We will read all of it. So let's go ahead and jump in.
Let's.
So Half Bad. Oh, I just gotta say, because the listeners can't see this, but Haley's note, she always puts in fan art, and it's just fucking incredible. And of course, for this one, she put photos from the TV show. I'm obsessed.
Looking at this visual stimulating.
Look
cast.
At these beautiful people.
I know.
Gorgeous. 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 So the main character.
Yes.
His name is Nathan Burns.
Nathan. Yeah, the accents are, I think they're from the UK, but like, there's all kinds of accents.
Yeah, because European Gabriel shit. Has a different, and then it was cool because I listened to the audiobook, and the dude's accent was cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is,
but
it was dope. And he would say, half code, and Nathan Burns.
Yeah, I don't know the regions of Britain, but.
Me neither.
It's somewhere around there.
It's just somewhere.
I'm assuming Sally Green's probably from the UK.
I would think so, right?
This book is mainly set in like London, Scotland, Switzerland. It's all over the place, really.
Yeah, this is where my geography is going to show that I know nothing.
I believe we start off in the UK somewhere.
Somewhere? I don't know.
Somewhere in the British world.
In the British world. Over in Britain.
Yeah. England.
England.
England. I don't know. Sorry, guys.
So
Nathan Burns, he is living with his gran.
Yes.
His grandmother.
Gran.
And his three half-siblings.
Yes. So half-siblings. Ooh, tell me more.
Spicy. Well, they all have the same mom.
Yes.
And they have different dads. So Nathan has his dad, whose name is Marcus Edge. Love that name.
Marcus Edge. What a badass name.
And he is wanted. Dead or alive, I don't know, but he's wanted for sure.
Most like, dead or alive.
He is the baddest of all baddies. Yep. He is Mr. Black Blood Witch.
Okay.
Yeah, let's break that down.
So in the TV show, they don't call them black witches versus white witches, which is how it is in the book. Mm-hmm. They call them blood witches, which is the equivalent of black witches in the book. And Fairborns, which is the equivalent of white witches. Yeah.
So there's obviously a play on some racial theory here.
Yes. Yes. Which was, I got to say, because I watched the TV show first. So reading this after watching the TV series, all the racial and all that shit is so much more stark.
Yeah.
I think in the book, which was just, it's crazy to listen to because you're like, oh my God. I mean, it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
And this is just their life.
Yeah.
It's the world.
It's a little, it gets a little intense, you guys. It's a little torture porny.
Yeah.
So Nathan's three siblings, Aaron, Deborah, and Jessica.
They all have the same dad.
Exactly.
So Nathan's mom was married to the dad of the half siblings. And essentially the dad was killed. By Marcus Edge, who is Nathan's dad. So Nathan is the baby of the family. And after he was born, something happened to his mom.
Yeah, his mom, for reasons we don't know why at this point, she committed suicide. And after that, the eldest sister, Jessica, pretty much decided that it was Nathan's fault and hates his guts and blames him for that.
Yeah, it's really fucked up. In the TV show, Deborah and Aaron aren't even characters. In the book, I do like how Deborah and Aaron are both like supportive siblings.
Yeah,
who love Nathan and want him around, want him to be alive and untortured. Jessica, not so much.
Yeah,
she's kind of an evil bitch.
She's an evil bitch. Yeah. And I am happy that he has two other nice siblings. Like, he's BFFs with Aaron, and Deborah's super nice. So, like, he needed that at home because it was a little tense on the show.
Little tense.
And Gran's a sweetheart, too.
Yes.
She's very caring, motherly.
Yeah, so Gran is Nathan's mom's mom.
Yeah.
So, Nathan's mom was a white witch.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Edge was a, or is, a black witch because he is still alive.
Right.
So, Nathan is a half code.
Half code.
Half code.
Half witch. Half white, half black.
Yeah.
And the whole story is kind of set up about like how half, obviously half bad.
Yeah.
Half blooded witches may have the affinity to be evil because of their blood witch ancestry.
Yeah. So essentially, the white witches are the ones who are running the council, running the show, whatever. Yeah. The black witches are essentially painted to be these evil monsters who are blood witches, who are evil, just want to kill everyone. Mm-hmm. So the white witches are like, we can't have this, so we're going to put rules in place.
Right.
We're going to make sure, you know, all these people are contained and killed and monitored, whatever.
As a comparison, it's like, you know, the Mudbloods and the Draco Malfoy purebloods.
Yes.
Or, you know, the Jews and Hitler's army.
Yeah. I mean, it was really kind of shocking to read this book and just like, because a lot of times the books we read, I feel like there's always that evil, you know, component of the book. But this one was just so like, I don't know, realistic in the way that it's like, oh, black versus white, like evil versus good.
Yeah.
It was just very like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah. This is like outright racism to its maximum capacity. Like nothing is unconscious or, you know, between the lines. It's very much like, we don't like that you're biracial.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I really liked the quote that we said at the beginning. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's like,
scroll down.
Oh, is it down?
Well, I can't read Spanish as well.
I was reading the Spanish one. It's, no one's all good or all bad. It's what we think it is makes it so.
Our perceptions.
Again, reminds me of Harry Potter.
Yes.
When, oh God, what's his name? Sirius Black is like, there's always good and bad in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, what we choose to do with it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Which, this is one of the reasons I love this book, because it really plays into the, okay, so Nathan is half white, half black.
Mm-hmm.
So he, so how this works is witches don't get their power until they're 17.
Right. Puberty.
Puberty. When they're 17, there's something called the giving ceremony. And what that means is someone in their family has to give them 3 gifts. And then they essentially have them drink their blood.
Love it.
Love it. We love it. And
vampire girl.
Yes. So am I. So, you know, we love a good blood ceremony.
Tasty.
And so once that ceremony is complete, it takes a bit and then they'll develop powers.
Yes.
So everyone is afraid that Nathan is going to turn 17. He's going to get his powers and he's going to end up being a blood witch.
Yeah.
Because I guess in this book, like, if you're a half code, which is what he is, so half black, half white, God, it feels really wrong saying that.
Yeah.
Like, half black, half white. Like, what even?
Yeah.
But you either, I guess, get, like, white witch powers or black witch powers. You don't get, like,
both.
Mix.
Yeah. Like, and so, and, like, Nathan, his whole life, he's known this. Like, he knows people are scared that he's going to become evil, like his father, and he, internally, he's like struggling because he's like, I don't want to be evil. I don't want to hurt people. I want to be a good, you know, witch. I want my powers, and I don't want to, you know, be like constantly monitored because people think I'm just going to turn evil one day.
Yeah.
So he's just like, he feels obviously prejudiced against, and he
is. I mean, God, even before stuff in the later in the book happens, I mean, it's a very stark contrast of his treatment versus his literal siblings.
Yeah. He has to go through these like yearly assessments.
Yes.
Yeah. Where the council basically shows up to his house and asks him a bunch of questions, does like physical and mental testing.
Yeah, they like take pictures of him.
Yeah,
it's like this full.
They weigh
like,
him. The
fuck? Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
what is that?
It's like this, I guess, to see how he's growing, and I don't know if he's gonna be like developed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I like in the TV show they don't do that whole assessment. It's they ask him like a couple of set questions, mm-hmm. and at the end the physical part of the exam is cutting him on his hand,
yeah,
and
see if he heals,
timing how long it takes for him to heal, because white witches do heal, mm-hmm. but black witches heal a lot faster, and the questions are like, have you ever thought about hurting one of the white witches, do you find yourself quick to anger, mm-hmm. and it's like, I think the story does a really good job of showing how like bad people can be made.
Yes, because you're influencing, you're putting, first of all, there's like thought insertion,
yeah,
where you're just constantly talking about how he could potentially be evil. We're scared that you're gonna be evil, and then he gets so frustrated that he becomes evil. It's like the villain story of, you know. Yeah.
And I thought, God, it did such a fucking good job in the TV show where he'd always say, no, I don't feel like that. No, I don't feel like that. And then he gets beat. He gets tortured and all this shit. And he's like, no, I don't feel like that. No, I don't feel like that. And it's just like all those questions, shit, I answer yes to most of them.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Have I ever thought about smacking someone on the daily?
Yeah. Do I want to hurt you right now after you fucking hurt me? Yeah.
Correct.
I do.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. The next kind of thing that happens, so Jessica's the oldest, and so it's time for her giving ceremony.
Yes.
Nathan is not invited. Who's surprised?
I don't think he wants to go.
No, he didn't. Jessica literally, like, tortures him.
Yeah.
Like, emotionally very abusive to him. So she gets her giving ceremony, and her gift is that she is able, because everyone gets, like, a specific gift.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be different. Yeah. Some of them are more common gifts. Some are more rare. Hers is a bit more rare. And it's that she could change into anyone she wants.
Which I gotta say is pretty sick.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
If you could change into anyone, who would you change into?
Honestly, I'd probably just to check it out, I'd want to change into a man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd want to know, you know?
I would.
Yeah.
I'd do. I'd give it a whirl.
Yeah.
There's no one, like, specific I'd want to change into.
You could
into.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
That's true.
You can grope yourself on the train. You can, you can be a fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
No one gives
and
a shit.
And that's just, you know, part of
and
being a man.
And then you can still get, you know, rewarded.
Yep. we're not there.
Anywho. So, like,
anyway.
She uses this power to further torture Nathan by turning into, like, his, either in the
Aaron.
Book, his siblings. Yeah, Aaron. Or, like, his friends, whatever, to try to trick him, to try to get him to say things or tell her secrets or whatever.
Yeah.
But he usually has a really good idea of when she's doing that. And I think at one point in the book, he's like, I can smell you, you disgusting bitch.
Yes. I love it because Aaron is essentially like his closest friend.
Yeah.
And Aaron doesn't really bring up the whole like, oh, what do you think about your dad?
Yeah.
And, you know, are you going to be a black witch? So Jessica hasn't revealed her power and is like asking these questions. What I do love about the TV series is that Jessica, when she first gets her power, transform into his mom.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was so fucked.
Then comes over to him, like to his door, and is like, Nathan, you killed me, I'm dead because of you. And Nathan's just fucking crying, and Jessica turns back and is just fucking laughing.
It's awful. It's awful.
Horrible. I mean, come on.
That's
horrible.
Fuck. I hate her. I hate her.
God, we are a anti-Jessica team here because she sucks. But, and it's just like, why? Why does she hate him so much? He was literally a baby when his mom died, and she just has this vendetta against him.
Yeah. It's fucked.
It's really fucked up.
And another part of the assessments that they do is not only to test Nathan, but also they want to know, at least in the book, I don't know if it's in the show, but they also want to see if he knows anything about his father.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're still trying to find him. He's wanted for murder. And for
he's killed a lot of white witches.
He's been killing some bitches out there. So he's wanted, and they think that Nathan may have contact with him or will have contact with him at some point. So they keep asking about that. Where's your dad? You know, do you know anything about him?
Mm-hmm. And he can't even talk about his dad at home. Like, he can't talk about anything. And he doesn't even know much about his dad except for what the White Council is telling him.
Right, that he's evil and shit.
So it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. And he obviously, like, internally, again, he wants to meet his dad, because mm-hmm. who wouldn't, you know?
Yeah.
Want to meet a parent that, I don't know, you know, you just do, you're curious.
Yeah.
Whatever. So he's just feeling really bad.
Yeah. And I think with Nathan, I mean, so many people hate him. I think he's kind of holding out hope that, you know, and it comes up later in the book, but he's like, maybe my dad isn't evil. Yeah. Maybe it's just the White Council's evil. And, yeah. they, you know, all this killing was him defending himself. Right. And maybe he loves me and wants mm-hmm. me, but, you know, can't get me because the White Council yeah. and he wants to protect me. Yeah. Or
and you have to think, like, what potential reasons he could have had to, mm-hmm. like, act that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know.
Because we don't know. Yeah, we don't know anything yeah. about Marcus Edge except mm-hmm. for the White Council says.
Yeah.
And based on their treatment of Nathan, we think it's probably very heavily subjective.
Yeah. So, like, around this time, Nathan's, like, 14, 15 in the books. They actually speed up his aging pretty quickly.
Yeah, very quick.
And so they all attend what they call Fae schools. Fae are just normal people, mm-hmm. like the Muggles of Harry Potter.
Yeah, I love that word.
I know.
It's really cool.
So they all kind of blend in, and they don't really... I guess most people don't know that they exist, right? Because they're just hiding their powers mm-hmm. and they're just like normal people. But Nathan has a special ability where he can tell magical people from Fae.
Oh, yeah, by their eyes. Yes. Which is so cool.
Yeah.
And it's really fucked up because you think, okay, maybe if Nathan's going to a Fae school, things will be easier mm-hmm. for him. No.
Yeah.
He can't really read. Yeah. Throughout this whole book, he really... I mean, his literacy level is very low.
It was surprising to me. I didn't really understand that because I thought his siblings could read, right?
They could.
So is it just because he's struggling to read or because he wasn't taught to read?
I think a mix of both.
Okay.
Like, at school, I think he was kind of supposed... I don't know. I think
it's just like... I feel like it didn't really go into that.
Yeah. I have the feeling it was more like... He wasn't really given a good foundation mm-hmm. when he was younger. Mm-hmm. And then as he's going into, like, high school and stuff, like, he didn't really know how to read very well. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he kind of gave up and was like, I'm just, yeah. like, the stupid one yeah. in school now. Like, I'm not going to even bother trying.
And then he has the problem with, like, electronic devices giving him these buzzing sounds in his head
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, weird.
So it's like he doesn't want to be at school because there's all these electronics everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd always have a headache. So, I mean...
Nathan's just
yeah, he's struggling,
a fucking
man.
Rough time.
He's struggling. But
but he does make a friend at school. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It is a lady.
A lady friend.
A lady friend. Her name is Annalise.
Mm-hmm.
And she, of course, is a purebred white witch. And I don't remember if it's this way in the book, but her dad is on the council.
Yes, Sol O'Brien.
Yes.
Or her uncle. It's her uncle in the books. I believe.
Oh,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Okay. In the TV show, Sol is her dad.
Okay. And she has three brothers, mm-hmm. Kiernan, Connor, and Niall.
Yes.
And they hate Nathan, as most people do.
Yeah. Because Annalise is like, oh, I was told not to talk to you.
Right.
And it's so fucking cute in the books. Like, Nathan, the only thing in school he really likes is art,
mm-hmm.
which
I
fucking wish I could draw, but he likes to draw, and he's
yeah.
like super awko taco
yeah.
with Annalise, like won't even look at her. He's like very shy, very timid. And of course her brothers are like, hey, if you interact with
mm-hmm.
our sister, we'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, fuck you up, end your life.
Yep. And he's like, all right.
And Annalise, she's, you know, she just wants to be nice. She likes Nathan, and so she like sneakily hangs out with him.
Yeah, which so cute.
It
I
is.
Like how because it's just, she's very like, yeah, I was told you're bad because you're Marcus's son, but she's like, I don't know. That,
yeah.
I mean, who are you?
Right.
You're not your father.
Exactly.
And I mean, he wasn't even raised by his dad.
Yeah. Jesus. And you have to take what you get from experience and from learning and being around him. He's not showing any signs of being evil.
Yeah. So Nathan ends up getting into a fight
mm-hmm.
with Annalise's brothers,
mm-hmm.
Connor and Niall, and he ends up being expelled.
Yeah. Actually, didn't write it down, but he also, in that fight, he gets into it with, like, the superintendent or the principal or something. He, like, throws a chair out the window or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he does a little bit more of destruction of property. He gets really pissed off, right? So
He does, but I think also when he was with the superintendent, I think I remember in the book, he was like, I don't know if this is enough to get me expelled, so I'm going to do something even more to purposely get expelled, because he doesn't want to be in school anymore.
Yeah.
Which, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah, so Gran is like, okay, I'll homeschool you.
Yeah, so she starts teaching him some stuff about magic. Like, she has potions making is her...
That's her gift.
Gift. Mm-hmm. So she starts sharing stuff about that with him, and they go on nature walks and stuff.
Yeah, it's really cute. Yeah. But she doesn't fucking teach him how to read.
I know. Come on, Gran.
Like, come on, Gran.
Maybe her eyesight's bad. Maybe. Because she's like 80. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's definitely a reader. For sure. She's got to be.
I get reader vibes from Gran. Yeah. Come on now.
Potions books. You got to read those, right?
Potion seller. And then one thing I want to mention is at this point, Nathan keeps getting letters from the council. Mm-hmm. And the council, it's letters about, like, different decrees.
Oh, yes.
You know, Harry Potter. Oh, Salem, no. Salem.
Oh, no. Doggy troubles. Oh,
you hate to see it. Salem is just destroying Sparky's toy. It's fine. You don't destroy. Okay, she has a stuffed teddy bear.
Revenge against Sparky.
There's not a fucking scratch on it, but then this rubber ball is just destroyed.
Salem.
This is why I can't have anything nice.
Salem.
Yes, you're very cute. But essentially, so people are coded in this book. So Nathan is a half code because he has half white, half black ancestry. So the council essentially makes laws. And this reminds me of Harry Potter, Professor Umbridge, when she has like different decrees throughout the year after she becomes headmaster. This is the same vibe.
Yeah.
The decrees are technically for any and all half codes, but Nathan is essentially one of the only half codes. So it's rules for him.
Yeah. It's also like the Jim Crow laws back in the day, and also with Auschwitz.
Separate but equal.
And things like that. They also slowly rolled out more and more restrictive rules over time. So it like started out as like, oh, you just have to sign the registry that, you know, you're of this religion or whatever. And then slowly and slowly it was like, you can't go to the school, you can't live in this area, blah blah blah. It just keeps worse and worse. And that's kind of what happens with Nathan too.
It's so fucked up, because I remember in the book when I was listening to it, every time there's like a new decree, I just got so fucking mad. It's fucked up.
They just get worse and worse. And then Annalise. Oh wait, sorry. I'll go back to that. So, one of the things that's worrying, I guess, to Nathan is that, I guess, a popular trait for the Blood Witches or the Black Witches is that they struggle to sleep indoors and they get really restless and it's kind of like painful.
And it's worse when the moon is full.
Yes.
Ooh. Werewolf.
So he starts sleeping outside and he just like exploring nature and being one with the trees.
Yeah. And he like can't sleep inside.
Yeah.
So he's starting to be like, shit.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to end up being a black witch.
Right.
Not good.
Nope.
So you would think, okay, you know, Nathan is no longer in school. Surely Annalise's brothers have left him alone. No.
Mm-mm.
Because Annalise and Nathan still talk, even though he's not in school. And they, like, meet up in some meadow.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet and cute. And they, like, do it weekly or something like, or monthly, something like
that. But, of course,
like
her brothers tail her.
They force her to go one day because he's, like, waiting for her to, like, walk up the hill. God. And he sees her, and she just has this horrible look on her face, and then her brother's coming.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Oh my god, I was not expecting this in the book, because in the TV show, this part does not happen.
They fucking destroy him.
They literally...
It's horrifying.
Torture him. So, it's all three brothers. Mm-hmm. Kieran is the oldest. He's kind of like the head honcho running this, because the two other brothers, during this whole scene, is like, ooh, maybe we're going a little too far, and Kieran's like, hey, fucking torture him with me, come on, this
they
is
start
fun.
Yeah, because I remember one of them, the younger ones, is like, yo, he's bleeding pretty bad, he's bleeding pretty bad in the books, and he's like, ah, who cares, like they just like, literally, he has no remorse, he doesn't give a shit what happens if he lives or dies. Nope. Because he probably knows that they're not going to get in trouble. His dad or uncle is in the council, and like they're purebred white witches. There's not going to be any repercussions.
And they already hate, like, the council already hates Nathan.
Yeah.
So what do they do? Well, they put him on the ground and they take a knife and they start cutting into his back.
Yeah.
And Karen this whole time is like, so you're half black, half white. Which half of you is black? Which half of you is white? Let me see. He literally carves into his back a big letter B on one side and a letter W on the other.
There's all of these, like, books. There's always very intense damage to someone's back. And it just, like, it's either whipping, lashings, like Outlander, Throne of Glass, she gets whipped. Or there's just always something. And it's, like, it drives me insane.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's so sad.
It's so horrible. And, I mean, Nathan just has to take this.
Yeah.
And, like, he passes out and, you know, he's lost a lot of blood. He ends up, of course, living. But I think, his family even know that?
No, they don't. He doesn't tell anybody. Yeah.
He doesn't tell anyone. Like, he's in this literally completely alone.
Yeah.
Just, like, can you imagine your whole life being told, like, you're bad, we're going to watch out for you, you're going to end up like your father. And then it's just like, it's crazy because, you know, the White Council is very like, okay, we have to make sure he doesn't come evil, all this stuff. But in reality, they're the fucking sadistic evil ones. Yeah.
I hate it.
It's horrible. And this author does a very good job of really playing this dichotomy. Yeah. That's just so infuriating.
Yeah. Yes. So he gets fucking tortured.
Yeah. You know, casual.
And then just walks it off, as he usually does.
Mm-hmm.
Next big thing that happens is, so it's his 15th birthday. He gets an invitation from this old white witch lady.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Mary. And he's the only one of the family that gets invited to come see her. She lives in this old little cottage somewhere.
Yeah.
And off the beaten path. Like, this is weird. But he is like, I should probably go see her. Like, what's up with this?
And she has really specific instructions for him on how to get there.
Yeah.
Like, he has to take, like, this bus and then walk this amount and then go around this corner, you know, whatever. And he's like, I guess I'll bring a gift. Because it's for her birthday.
Something
like
that.
It's like a birthday
party
that he's invited to. He's like, okay, this is weird. Turns out he's the only one invited.
Yeah.
So he arrives to her cottage. And I forget exactly what the gift was, but it was like in a basket, a woven basket. And she's like, I love baskets. You can never have enough baskets. This is great. That's what I say. If you learn one thing, learn that you need baskets.
She's a weird old lady.
She's strange and we love her.
She tells him some stuff about his family, specifically that Nathan was the product of love, aka that his mom and his dad Marcus were actually in love with each other, and his birth or conception was not like an attack, because that's kind of what had been thought before.
Because while Nathan's mom and Marcus are together, she's married to the dad of the others.
Yeah. So it makes you think, like, okay, Marcus has the ability to love. And obviously the mom wasn't having, not that you can't love more than one person, but I think they're setting it up to maybe be like, oh, maybe she wasn't in love with the dad of the half-siblings.
Yeah, or like there's just more to the story than what the council is saying, of course. So, I mean, this is really the first information Nathan is getting about Marcus, because he doesn't know anything. No one in his family talks about it. And Mary lets it drop that Gran knew Marcus and like hung out with him and stuff and like knew him on a personal level. And Gran has never mentioned any of this. And I forget, is this when Mary tells him kind of what happened to his mom?
Yeah.
So we know that Nathan's mom killed herself, but we don't really know why or what was going on. Turns out she did kill herself, but essentially she was forced to by the White Council. And gosh, I think it wasn't even like she like had to kill herself. It was they like forced poison or something down where
it was basically murder.
It's murder.
Yeah,
they murdered his mom for having
the affair, Nathan. Right? Yeah,
not even just the affair. Or, it being with being with Marcus and producing a half code.
Yeah, so that's fucking terrible.
It's pretty fucking bad.
And Gran, why are you holding on to these secrets?
Yeah, Gran, what the fuck?
Imagine it's supposed to be in a protective, loving way. Yeah. But it's like, damn, Nathan's been struggling without some info for a while now.
Yeah, and it's fucked up because, like, not even his family will talk to him about it, even when they're not, you know, in front of the White Council or whatever. He has no information. And Mary's like, yeah, so this is what's going on.
Finally, he learns this, and Mary also was like, hey, so you should probably run away because the council doesn't want you to receive your gifts.
Yeah.
And by the time you're 17, they're probably going to do something to prevent you from getting them. And I guess if you don't get your gifts, you die? Is that how it goes?
It is. Okay. So if you don't get your gifts, you die.
On your 17th birthday.
On your 17th birthday, you will die. Also, one of the things that I think is really interesting about Mary is that she used to work for the White Council. Mm. She no longer works for them. And one of the reasons why she left is because I think she was a secretary something. And they, of course, would, like, capture blood witches and torture them and all that shit. And there was one blood witch that they had and were torturing, like, way unnecessarily. I mean, just, like, not even torturing for information at this point. It was just torturing
for fucking
to torture.
Sick pleasure.
Yeah, and so she went into a cell and ended up giving him a knife to kill himself.
Fuck.
And do you remember who that witch was? It was his grandfather.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so Nathan learns that essentially...
Oh, it was Marcus's dad.
It was Marcus's dad.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was the one who essentially helped Marcus's dad kill himself. Right. And she played it off as like, oh, well, you know, I was really pissed and I wanted to yell at this blood witch. And, you know, I dropped the knife or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she did it to save him.
Yeah.
Because she was saying like, you know, she was all for the White Council and all that stuff. But she was like, that was just brutality. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't stand by it. So after that, she left the White Council, and they were kind of sus about,
what's going on here?
Did you aid him?
But we love a defector.
We do love a defector. Mary is so cool.
I know. And then, so, yeah, she tells him to get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, basically, he goes back home after the party. And the council, they come after him. Yeah, so they're ready to basically start doing whatever creepy experiments are going to do. They say that Gran is unfit to care for him and train him. So we have a former hunter. Her name is Celia.
Celia.
And she's a badass bitch.
She is.
She's like a fucking ex-Marine type, you know?
Yeah, she is.
So she takes him to the wilderness. Like, no choice in the matter. You're coming with us. Bye-bye, Gran.
Bye, Gran.
Bye, siblings forever.
Yeah.
And he's 15 at this point. Takes him to the wilderness of Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where she will train him. I guess... just to train him to get the evilness out of him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And in the show, essentially, one of the reasons they say Nathan's even alive and the White Council wants him is because they want him to kill Marcus.
Yes.
They think they have a shot. Yeah. And I forget if it's in the book or not, but there's a prophecy.
It is in the book.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay. That the Son of the Wolf... Mm-hmm. AKA, you know, they think it's Marcus, will kill the wolf. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, pretty much we're gonna train you to be able to kill your dad.
Yeah.
And so even though we hate you and nothing's good. I mean, we're gonna need you as a weapon before, during, and after, but maybe we'll torture you less after you kill Marcus. Yeah.
They're trying to beat the humanity out of him and make him do what they want.
Yep.
And so she's very brutal in her methods. She beats him, you know, anything he says, she just fucking hits him in the face, makes him train. He just like sprints, runs, you know, exercises to the maximum. Mm-hmm. He sleeps in a cage outside.
Yeah.
He has a poisonous
collar chained to his throat to make
sure. But do you remember? So it wasn't a poisonous collar at first. It was like a poisonous bracelet. Essentially, it's like a detector of, like, you can't, if escape, you leave a certain, you know, perimeter, it's going to go off. Mm-hmm. So one day he does try to escape with a little bracelet, like almost loses his hand. Mm-hmm. And then they end up putting a collar on him.
Jesus Christ. So he basically, he thinks about escaping, but he really has no chance at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
He's just being brutally treated. And luckily the cage is outside, so at least at least he's not being forced inside to sleep.
Oh yeah, that's true. Right? I forgot about that.
Because
yeah.
He can't sleep inside.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Right. So yeah, he's there for, in the book, for years.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
For years.
It's fucked up.
He goes through puberty with Celia. No one else. He doesn't get to visit his family. He talks to no one but her. And then when the council does their yearly assessments, that's it.
Yep.
And so finally, he's getting older. I want to say he's probably 16, close to being 17 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The council comes for him. They come to the camp or the cottage, wherever they're staying. And they're like, yeah, so we're going to take him now.
Yep.
And they don't tell Celia what's going on. She's kind of distraught. I think she's kind of developed even though she's a brutal, it's like the,
it's weird.
It's weird, right?
It's weird.
It's weird. It's like the Stockholm's kind of vibes, but it's like almost reversed.
Yeah. It's weird because Celia is like a total asshole to him and like puts him in these horrible conditions. Mm-hmm. But I think she does care for him, and they did that in the TV show. They did that pretty well. And so when they come for Nathan, she's like, hey, what the fuck's going on? Like, this is my charge. I need to know what's going on. And they're like, no, you don't. You don't need to know anything. Don't ask. And she's trying to, like, follow him. Like, oh, well, let me get in the car. I'll go with. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because Celia, essentially, her kind of conflict is she has grown to care for Nathan. But she is she's still refusing to break any rules with council. So
she's still loyal to them.
Yeah. Loyal to a fault. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, after a couple years of being with someone, you're definitely, there's going to be something, unless you're just like, you have no humanity left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she's prevented from seeing what happens to him.
Yeah. It's fucked up. And what's more fucked up is what happens to him.
Yeah. So they take him to some remote location.
Yeah. And they're like, you know what? This one dude was like, I've been experimenting, and I'm going to give you some tattoos.
Mm. But not just, like, a nice butterfly or, like, a back tat, you know, just for, like, looks.
Yeah, not to be like, you know, we're going to do this experimental tattoo. Yeah. It's, like, there's three on his finger, mm-hmm. one on his ankle, one on his neck. But when they're tattooing him, it's not like, oh, a regular tattoo where it's just under the mm-hmm. skin. It goes, like, straight to the fucking bone.
Yeah.
And he's not sure what the purpose of it is.
Yeah. It's very, very, very painful.
Yes.
The guy, I forget if it's one of the council members. He's not the one tattooing him, but he's like, oh, this will be fine. You'll be okay. And then he's, like, screaming out in pain. He's like, oh, you'll get through it. Like, there's literally no humanity.
Mm-mm.
And, yeah, so it's a letter and two numbers.
Okay.
It's B05.
Mm.
I think it's, I don't know if they put the period, but 0.5 mm-hmm. for half, right? And so, like, on one of his fingers, they do those three digits.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the digits is on his ankle. It's, like, B on the ankle. Zero on the head and like five on the neck or something.
Oh, okay.
And they all to correspond with what's on the finger.
Yeah.
And that comes into play later.
We
don't know why they're tattooing him yet.
Yeah, but we do know there's like magic involved. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just like tattooing to be like, okay, we're going to tattoo, he's a half code. There's a reason for it and like magical reason, but we're not sure. And of course he's not told.
Yeah. So he gets the tattoos. He wakes up in kind of a hospital-ish bed. He's locked in a room, and he's like, I gotta go. I gotta escape this shit mm-hmm. before it escalates. So he pretends like he's seizing or something, and, like, the guard comes in and is like, oh, shit. And then the guy who's watching, who did the tattoo experiment, I guess, comes in. And he takes them both out, and then no one else comes, so he's able to escape.
What a
baddie. I'm like, wow. There's no, like, heavily guarded
presence here. Like, they just, he just gets out really easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, good for him.
Yeah. Get it, Nathan. Yeah. Also, one thing I think we forgot to mention, when he was living with Celia, Celia, like, I guess a letter came or something, and she's like, hey, Nathan, I want you to know your grand died.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God, when? Mm-hmm. She was like 3 months ago.
Yeah. No one told him.
Nope.
He didn't get to say goodbye.
Nope. Or go to a funeral. Right. Nothing like that. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, hey, by the way, your grand died like a couple months mm-hmm. ago. I thought you should know. It's horrible. Yeah. But so Nathan is a scapade. He's on the run. And he tries to find a witch named Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a contact given to him by Mary. Mm-hmm. And essentially, Mary was saying, like, you need to go find Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Mercury Another witch. Is a witch. She is a black witch. And she's like, I think she'll be able to help with your gifts mm-hmm. in turning 17. Yeah. So he's 16 at this point. He does find Bob.
Yes. Which is crazy because Bob's little hidey out is right next to the place he was being held
yep.
imprisoned. So he has to, like, go back and, like, you know, sneak out the area, see if there's any hunters around, and oh god
Sparky. Is he eating the toy? Shit, hold on, I gotta make sure my dog
oh god it. Well, okay, well, that happens. Sparky, oh, Sparky,
Sparky, oh my god, I thought he was chewing his bone. You're a dummy.
Is he gonna be okay?
Yeah, I think he's probably piece. Oh, well.
Sparky, that's gonna be hurting later.
Yeah, one thing about Sparky, I will say, my doggo, he likes to eat random ass, yeah, I'm looking at you, sir, random ass shit that, like, could, you know, cause a fucking blockage. Oh, but he God. Always shits it out. You know, one time he ate one of my books. I was so pissed. And he literally shat out a page where I could still see the fucking words on it.
Are you serious?
I was pissed.
Jesus Christ, Sparky.
It was like a book I've had since, like, I was a kid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a little asshole.
Wow.
Anyway.
Damn.
Yeah. Back to Nathan and his torture.
Yeah, sorry. So he meets Bob. And Bob tells him, okay, I've got some more context. I forget what they talk about, but he like sends him to these other two people named Jib and Trev.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to hook him up with some passports and also kind of help him figure out what these tattoos are about.
Mm-hmm.
So they take some samples of his tattoo and like his skin and bones and shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll get back to you in like a couple weeks with the results. And he's like, okay, but what about Mercury? Where do I find her? And they're like, we'll let you know later on.
Yeah. Essentially, for Nathan to find Mercury, you have to, like, go through a chain of people
yes.
who only know the next link in the chain
right.
to be able to find Mercury. So, you know.
Yeah. So then, finally, Trev is the one who's doing the research. He gets back, and he's like, okay. So, yeah, the deal with these tattoos, apparently they were trying to make something called a witch's bottle, which is basically what they describe as a voodoo doll. So they were going to cut off his finger with the tattoos and then use that to control him because the other corresponding tattoos were on his body. So they were going to magically use his fucking finger to, like, somehow control him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was their plan, but they didn't get to do those experiments because he escaped before. So he was very close to being, like, experimented further on.
Yeah, and the thing is now it's, if they get any, like, skin or whatever
right,
DNA
yeah.
of him, they can still do
yeah.
it.
So Trev does give him back a bag with all of his DNA in
yeah.
it. And he's like, I just want to make sure that we know that I didn't do anything to hurt you. I don't have your DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like protecting himself.
Yeah. And I feel like the smart thing would have been to, like, immediately burn it.
Burn the shit out of it. Burn
Nathan Burns does not burn it.
No, he doesn't burn.
You hate to see it. So... one of the half-witches, her name is Ellen.
She which he just randomly meets looking around. Because
she's working for Bob.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She is able to talk to Aaron mm-hmm. and kind of be the, like, liaison between them. Which
it
is
was
really
cute. It was sad.
And Aaron, like, filmed a video for him. And I was like, ugh. And then he couldn't respond because he was like, it's too dangerous. I can't do it.
But at least they knew that he was safe.
Yeah, and Aaron still loves him. Mm-hmm. He's, like, worried about him, and it's sad. But kind of the next thing is he ends up going to Geneva in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And, oh, new character alert.
No, I can't. I do not want to make that a thing because I do want our nice listeners to have to deal with that. Or me.
But he meets one of my favorite characters ever, Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was kind of like thrown off because in the... in the audiobook, it's pronounced Gabrielle.
Yeah, I saw that he does pronounce it that way, but do they do that in the show?
I don't remember. Maybe.
Mm. Because he says it's Gabrielle, and then he spells it differently to point out that it's pronounced that way.
Yeah, and my name is Gabrielle, so I was like, oh my god, who is this? Gabrielle is a black witch. And
hottie black witch.
We love him. We love Gabrielle. And he is kind of
what is his his power.
Yeah, I forget. It's like,
so he first meets him and he's always wearing sunglasses.
Oh yes.
And it's like, what's this about? Yeah. You know, what are you trying to hide? And he finally removes them at one point, and Nathan gets really upset because he notices that his eyes are faint. Mm-hmm. Because Nathan has one of those abilities where you can tell like who's magical and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts beating the shit out of him. they definitely beat up on each other a little bit.
They do. They do. We love a bully romance.
And finally, after that, Gabrielle explains, I'm a blood witch. I'm a black witch. But my power was to change into other people like Jessica. But I once tried to change into a fane just to see what it was like, and I could never change back.
So yeah, he got, like, stuck or something.
Yeah, he's basically stuck as a fane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But after, you know, they beat each other up, they do become friends.
Yes.
And essentially, Gabrielle is helping him find Mercury.
Yeah, he has to, like, build trust, and then Gabrielle can finally tell Mercury, like, okay, I think it's, you know, he can meet you.
Yeah, yeah.
So they finally go to see Mercury, who also lives in a mountain cottage. These mountain cottages.
We love a good mountain cottage.
And Mercury basically says, okay, I'll give you the gifts, but I want information on the council, and I want Marcus to be murdered.
Yeah. So she doesn't like Marcus.
Yeah.
And the reason is, I think Marcus killed, like, her sister.
Her sister, Mercy. I don't know why.
Mercy and Mercury.
Yeah, weird, weird. I don't know why she was killed, but yeah, Marcus murdered her.
Yeah, he's like, counteroffer. Instead, I will serve you for a year.
Yeah.
And not have to kill my father.
And she accepts, but she's also thinking in the back of my, like, I'm gonna get you to change your mind about that.
Yeah, she's like, you don't want to kill your dad now, but just wait till you meet him and then you'll change your mind. So one of the witches that works with Mercury, her name is Rose. She is a white witch, and Mercury pretty much only works with, like, mainly black witches, so it's unique that she's working with a white witch, but she's a powerful white witch.
And she was raised by her, I think, as a young... So she's basically kind of seen as a blood witch. Kind of the reverse of Nathan.
Yeah, yeah, where she's born a white witch, but it's like, interesting. Yeah. It's like almost like what you're born doesn't show who you are. Oh, crazy. But so they devise a plan, a.k.a. Mercury, and has Nathan, Rose, and Gabrielle plot to steal the Fairborn. Now, what is the Fairborn?
So the prophecy that you mentioned earlier, which is that the son of the wolf may be the one to kill Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
They find out that two things can kill Nathan.
Marcus.
Either Nathan or something called the Fairborn Blade.
Not or, together.
Oh, I thought it was either or.
No. In the TV show, they don't really do it, but in the book, it's... Marcus will be killed by the Fairborn by his son. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm getting it confused.
I thought it was just like either the one or the other, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like he would have to use that.
But the Fairborn is a knife.
Yes.
And currently it is in the White Witch's, like one of the council's possession.
Yes. So they have to plan a way to go steal this blade.
Mm-hmm.
And Rose is really sneaky. She's good at stealing shit. So she's like, I'm going to
do
this.
Do you remember her power?
She turns into a mist. And she, like, can...
She's a sneaky boy.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Basically. She's sneaky.
But yeah, she's very sneaky.
Yeah. So she goes off with Gabrielle to figure this out. And then while that's happening, someone appears.
Ooh. It's Annalise.
Yes, it's Annalise. So I guess one of Mercury's contacts has told her, oh, there's this white witch that is looking for help. And it's odd, like, they don't trust her. And then Nathan realizes it's Annalise, mm-hmm. and is like, oh, and they figure that he knows her, and she's like, okay, I guess we'll bring her here and mm-hmm. see what she has to say.
Yeah.
So Annalise is able to go to Mercury's residence, but so what happens is, like, at the apartment that Nathan and Gabrielle were staying at, there's, like, this rift that you can travel through mm-hmm. that brings you to Mercury's cottage mm-hmm. and so whenever you enter through that rift, you land on the roof of her cottage mm-hmm. and through magic or whatever, if you step off the roof without Mercury touching you, you basically fall into, like, a death-like sleep. Yes. And so that's, so with Annalise appears, she gets some Mercury gets some information out of her saying, oh, I'm, you know, what do you know about that blade? What do you, mm-hmm. you know, and she tells them, oh, I know, you know, not much that you don't already know, but she does tell them that there's a, like, a secret password that you have to use to get into the residence.
Yeah.
And they didn't know that before.
Yeah, so they're about to break into this residence without knowing that, and there's, it's essentially booby-trapped. Yeah. So Nathan's like, shit, Gabrielle and Rose are walking into a trap. Mm-hmm. I need to go warn them. Yes.
And before he goes... Basically, Mercury forces Annalise to fall off the roof, and she is in a coma, essentially.
Yeah. And so Mercury, essentially, Annalise is a bargaining chip with Nathan because she knows Nathan likes Annalise. Yeah. So she's like, all right, well, do what I want, and mm-hmm. then I'll wake her up.
Yeah.
So Nathan goes to help out Rose mm-hmm. and Gabrielle. And yeah, it's not good. No. Rose is able to break in.
Yeah.
But the hunters very quickly realize the blade has been stolen, so there's a big chase. Yep. Rose ends up being killed.
Yeah, it's so sad. She's like 14.
Yeah,
a little
she's
giggly.
Young.
Yeah, it's really sad. And then during that fight, also Nathan has to attack a hunter and ends up snapping her neck.
Yeah. And one cool thing about Rose before she dies, of course, is she's very like, oh, you and Gabrielle, like,
oh yeah,
that's cute, like, oh, he likes you. And Nathan's like, no,
we're just friends. We're just friends.
And she's like, yeah, okay, you're convincing no one. So I love that banter.
Yeah,
but
inserting possible romance Ooh. In the future, we don't know.
I don't know.
And yes, so then Nathan is also hit with a magical bullet during mm-hmm. this encounter mm-hmm. and it may have some poison or something in it.
Yeah.
Because he's not healing properly.
No, he's not. It's not great.
And yes, what does Gabrielle do?
Gabrielle, what a fucking homie. Clearly loves Nathan and ends up sacrificing himself to save Nathan. So at this point, Nathan doesn't know if Gabrielle's alive or not. Mm-hmm. It kind of was really not good odds for Gabrielle surviving mm-hmm. Because he essentially distracts the hunters so that Nathan's able to get away.
Right. And Nathan is in deep shit right now. Yeah. He can barely run. And
he does have the Fairborn.
Yes, he does have a blade. Mm-hmm. And he's very severely injured and he's trying to escape. And he's like he tries to get back to the apartment first because he's going to go through the rift, right?
Yeah.
But then he gets back and there's hunters everywhere. They know where the apartment is. So he's like, fuck, I can't do this.
Yep.
So now I have to figure out how to get to Mercury's cottage on foot, just like from my knowledge,
mm-hmm.
which takes him a while.
It's a cross country adventure.
Yes, man. He tries to take a bus. He's walking. He's like dying. He's like hallucinating shit too.
Yeah. Because the bullet wound is like becoming infected. There's this like magical shit. He's he's having a roughy toughy time. And then
he finally gets back to Mercury's cottage somehow, and he hears shit going on, a fight brewing. shots are firing. So he realizes that Mercury's fighting with hunters. They've already shown up before he even gets there. And then he's like making his way to the cottage slowly, and then all of a sudden the snowflakes start to slow down.
But before that, what? One thing is, as he's, you know, traveling across country while very injured, he does have the Fairborn with him. And I think he has to like cut the wound and like
it has
drain
like
it.
Some pus and he drains it.
Some magical pus, gross.
Yeah, disgusting.
But he ends up losing the knife.
And he tries to look for it.
He wakes up like by a river and the knife's not on him. He's like, fuck it, I have to get to Mercury's. I think he's about to turn 17. So he's like, I don't have time for this shit. So he goes, Fairborn's not there. And snowflakes start falling.
Oh, right. We didn't say this whole time that he's like, these are the days leading up to his 17th birthday. So it's like, right now he's got hours left.
Yeah.
Until he turns 17.
Yeah. And if he doesn't get his gifts, he's going to die.
Right.
So time stops. Mm-hmm. And Nathan realizes that Daddy.
The only person that can stop time.
Daddy Marcus. Now, I don't remember if this is how it's described in the book, but for sure in the TV series, Marcus, one of his things, so he's a blood witch and he has a ton of powers, and the reason for that is because he eats the hearts of, I don't know if this was in the book,
bro, I don't remember that.
He eats the hearts of the witches he kills. Oh, and shit. If he eats their heart, he gains their power.
Book.
So Marcus Edge has a shit ton of like a numerous amount of powers.
Damn.
Because he's been taking them from the people he's killed. So
he
Nathan
can stop time. Holy shit.
Yeah, fucking casual.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Hashtag Andarna.
Andarna. So it's kind of like almost a little bit of a showdown because Marcus knows that Nathan's being told to kill him, both by Mercury, by the White Council,
and the prophecy.
The prophecy, you know, there's you
the
know,
world.
Yeah, it's not looking great. and they kind of have like this good conversation. Marcus is kind of like, he's not like sweet. Oh,
no.
Hey, buddy.
He's like,
good
you will respect
you.
Me.
He's like, I'm your fucking dad, bro.
Yeah.
Respect.
And Nathan's like, where have you been? He's like, what do you mean? Time's different. He keeps saying things about like, I don't know if he does in the show, but he implies that time moves differently sometimes. Like, he's like, a millennia could be little amount of time for some people. Because he's like, it's been 17 years. And he's like, the way he talks about time makes me think that something will come up in the future books, maybe? About
interesting.
This. Yeah.
I like it.
We shall see.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. But Marcus does end up removing the bullet.
Yeah.
So that Nathan's able to actually heal.
And right after that, he fucking takes a knife and he puts it to his throat and he's like, your life is mine.
Yeah. You know, and they discuss this, the prophecy. Nathan's like, I don't want to kill you. And Marcus is like, sus. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I believe it. And Marcus gives Nathan his three gifts.
Yeah.
The first gift is, I give you your life.
Yeah. He's like, the knife to your throat, I'll let you live.
What a move. What a powerful play.
Number one gift.
I don't, do you remember what the other two gifts are?
So the second gift is a ring, I think, that he gives them.
Okay.
And he said it was passed down from his father's father, whatever. I don't know what it does yet. Like, it doesn't say. And then I don't know what the other gift is, because he just drinks his blood after that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Do you remember?
No.
I don't think it's fleshed out, actually. Like, I don't think we know yet.
Oh, okay.
For at the end of the book, anyways, because I don't know about the show, but...
Yeah.
I don't think we know what the gifts are.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. They don't.
Yeah, but he gets the three gifts.
He just feels more powerful after drinking the blood. That was it.
Mm-hmm. And then Marcus is like, all right, peace. I'm out.
He just, like, fades that meme.
Yeah, just peace, bud. And then Nathan is like, okay, time to go back to Mercury. Mm-hmm. Mercury is, as expected, very upset.
Yeah, he's everything like, went wrong that could go wrong.
Yeah, Rose is dead, her little prodigy. Marcus is gone.
The
Nathan
Fairborn.
Has gotten his gifts and without having to rely on Mercury. And she still has Annalise under the deep sleep. So she still has a bargaining chip to Nathan.
Yeah.
I don't remember. She disappears?
Yeah, so, like, she just yeets after that. Like,
She's like, I still have Annalise in my control. And then she just, like, mists away.
Oh.
Like, huh. We don't know what happens to Annalise.
Yeah.
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 And then Nathan decides, okay, I have to go find Gabrielle.
Yeah, because at this point, he doesn't know if Gabrielle's alive or not, but he's like, I have to find him.
Yeah.
And that's the book.
Yeah, man, it ends like that. And it's such a cliffy.
It is a big cliffy.
So in terms of the show, is the ending similar to this for the first season? Do you remember? Like, what's the vibes? Is it?
It is not. Okay. I wonder if the show is supposed to cover, like, two books or something. Because
more happens.
More shit happens. Essentially in the TV show, and I won't spoil anything, but first off, Annalise is never put into a deep sleep.
Oh, okay.
And it's, like, essentially Annalise, Gabrielle, and Nathan are, like, the dynamic trio.
Mm. So she's just more present.
She's way more present.
That's cool.
And then we get a lot more of her storyline. Mm. That's why I wonder if that's going to be
in the second
book. Because I know why she went to Mercury.
Ah.
Oh, my gosh. That's, like, discovered very early on in the TV show. And it's very... I don't want to say anything because it'll be a spoiler. But...
Damn, I'm excited to read.
That's how we leave off. I'm very curious to see if the books will kind of follow along. Yeah. Like, if the TV show really follows along.
Because you've only read this one, right? You haven't read the other ones?
Mm-mm. Okay. Yeah. And, I mean, this one was overall pretty accurate.
Okay. Just a little here and there.
There's stuff different. And then the show goes more into, like, backstories of other people. But I love this book because, like, we talked about it earlier, for her to completely make a story based on that William Shakespeare quote about there's no good and evil,
I know,
it's
that's so
what you
cool
think. It's really cool. And I think it's just a really fucking good story.
Yeah, I know, it was a super good story. I love, like, it's definitely different than what I've been reading.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice change of pace too. Especially, like, it's from a male's perspective. Because a lot of our books are from female perspectives.
That's right. Yeah, that's very true. I love Nathan. I'm obsessed with Gabrielle.
Yeah.
Annalise, I love her in the show. We don't really see a ton of her in the book.
Yeah.
But I'm very intrigued to see where it's going to go. I hope what they put in the show is going to happen in the book because it's really cool. And also, one thing, I guess this is kind of a spoiler for the TV show, but... And I don't know that it's going to happen in the books or not, but in the book, Nathan likes Annalise.
Yeah.
But then is, you know, they haven't seen each other in a long time, so he's starting to develop feelings for Gabrielle. In the show, all three of them, it's like a poly couple almost. They, like, all love each other, and it's so...
I love that. I was seeing, actually, some Tumblr memes when I was looking for fan art, and it was like, oh... this is my boyfriend Nathan and this is his boyfriend Gabrielle.
yeah, it's really cute, and I really like how the TV series
like handled
it.
That's really cool. I like that.
Really cool,
because
you don't see that very much at all. And especially it's because I think you and I've read a lot of, like, the reverse harems where it's one girl, like the Broken Bond series, one girl and multiple men. But this one's kind of one guy, a girl and a guy, which I love.
I also love that.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
It's so good. All right. It is time to rate this book.
Oh, it's tough.
Out of 5 stars, what are you going to rate this book?
That's a toughie. I think I'm going to give it a 4.
I'm going to give it a 4 as well.
Nice.
All right. Why are you giving it a 4?
So I really like the story. First of all, the plot is really good. It's unique. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm not bored with it. You know, I'm not, like, predicting what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
I cannot predict.
Which I love already. That puts me on, like, at least a 3.
Yeah.
I love the characters so far. And I'm just, like, fucking interested. I do love the dichotomy of, like, this racial tension.
And put into, like, a magical, you know, aspect. Because I love me some magic.
Yeah.
And I think it was really cool that this book, like, the whole struggle is not something that's, like, completely outlandish to real life.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really cool. I'm really excited for the next books. I hope there's some more like romance-y with Nathan and Gabrielle at least. We'll see what happens with Annalise. Well, let's make predictions.
Oh yeah, let's.
What do you predict is gonna happen?
So I think that because Annalise wasn't really fleshed out here, I do think that it's leaning more towards a Nathan-Gabrielle relationship.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm literally obsessed. Oh, yeah. And if you look at the TV show, the actor who plays Gabrielle is fucking so good. And just like,
I know.
He's the perfect Gabrielle.
I can't wait to see the show.
Like seeing the characters come to life. So cool.
I'm really excited.
And his hair is like bleached, yes. So it's white.
I love the dark facial hair with the white.
So do I.
I don't know what it is.
I know. I literally was like, I want a Gabrielle haircut.
Yeah.
Because I have the pixie cut now. And I'm like, it would be easier right? to bleach hair when it's a short.
I know.
I'm tempted.
Yeah.
I'm tempted.
Well, think about it. Yeah. Think about it. what were we talking about?
Predictions.
So, yes. So, romance-wise, I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
The gifts-wise?
Yeah. So, in this show, we don't know what Nathan's gift is.
So, yeah, I really don't know. I have no idea.
No idea. Because, I mean, it could literally be anything. The gifts can literally be anything.
Anything
but
you could
create. I do think he is a Black Witch.
Yeah, I do think he's going to be very powerful. I'm hoping that they're going to, you know, eventually be able to infiltrate this council of white bitches.
Yeah. Do you think Nathan is going to end up killing Marcus?
Ooh, that's a good question. So the first encounter with Marcus was interesting to me because I wasn't sure how it was going to go. And it wasn't like super fatherly or super evil. It was like,
yeah,
it was like a weird, I don't know.
I think they're just both trying to test each other out.
Yeah.
Because they both have all this, I think, backstory of being told they're going to, you know, have this really brutal fight and kill each other or whatever.
I honestly think if he does kill him,
mm-hmm.
it will be for not the reason that everyone wants it to be. It'll be like a self-sacrificing thing where he's like, you have to kill me, but I love you.
I hope so. I wonder if it's going to be like he does end up killing Marcus because Marcus is like ends up being like, you know, some sort of evil, but then also it's like the White Council is evil too. Yeah. So I wonder if it's going to be like Nathan's kind of like creating the new norm.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I really have no idea where this book is going to go. Cause so the series, it's half bad, half wild, half lost.
Yeah.
I hope by the end of the series, of course, the White Council is, like, disbanded and shit. But I really have no idea where this is going to go.
Yeah, seriously. Because they're not in school. They're, like, seemingly on the run at this point. He's going to go have to find Gabrielle. Maybe he was taken and he has to go save him.
Yeah.
It could be anything. And it could be anywhere in Europe.
I know. I'm just really excited. It's really refreshing to read a book where you literally have no idea what's going to happen.
It's so fun.
Because some books are very predictable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that is Half Bad.
Yes.
Stay tuned for Half Wild.
Half Wild.
Which will be next.
Yes, 2 of 3.
Yes.
Book but no season 2.
I know. It's so sad because it's such a good series. And I saw like the actors were saying, like, we're really sad that you guys don't get to, like, continue to explore
that sucks.
All these characters. I'm like, ugh.
Damn. Well, at least they gave us the content they could.
Yes, that is true. I will take it. But.
Yes, let's end this shit.
I think that's it. So, thanks for listening.
Yes.
Au revoir.
Yes, adios.
Sayonara. Adios.